Do you suppose that Christians might say at some point in their life, oh, I'm willing to pay the price? Or Christians might say, oh man, I'd love to be a missionary and just set a high goal. Or Christians might say, you know what, if I've got to carry my cross and suffer for Christ, so be it. Do you think there are Christians that, including ourselves, that might have said that and meant it, but the focus is on what we're willing to sacrifice? And that's one focus, self-denial, denying ourselves in Christ that we might live for Him is real important. But guarding our heart is a focus that you don't hear much about. And that's what this message is about. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask, please, that you will just touch each person here, from the youngest person to the oldest person, everybody in between, that each one of us will sense you touching our heart, speaking to our heart, revealing the way you want to, the things you want us to know, and revealing your love for us. And I ask that you will just present this message clearly, and may you be glorified by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start by quoting an author by the name of John Eldridge. And he says this: Fairweather Mountain, is one of the most spectacular mountains in North America, located off the southeast coast of Alaska. The mountain reaches 15,000 feet above sea level. Massive granite walls with deep ravines cut by cascading glaciers create an inspiring view. This view, however, can only be seen about 20 days a year. 20 days a year when the weather is fair. The mountain is called Fair Weather because you can only see the full glory and beauty of the mountain when the fog clears. I hope you're getting a connection between the illustration with the kids, that the smoke in the jar hiding the heart, you don't see it as clearly, you don't see Christ as clearly, and that the mountain, you can see this Fair Weather Mountain 20 days out of the year. Well, you know, as a Christian, we might be thinking, how often do people see Jesus in us? Is it 20 days a year? And that's the correlation there. That the fog comes in, the weather comes in and hides the mountain view. Are we letting things in our lives come in that hide Christ who lives in our heart? And that's what we're called to protect. To protect our heart and allow our life to reflect the person and character of Jesus. Much of the confusion that we have in our lives results from a failure to understand the truth proclaimed in Proverbs 4 and other scriptures. I want us to understand that we're going to look at the description of the significance of the heart. Now, shift gears. Remember, oh, I'm going to carry my cross for Jesus. You're going to live for Jesus? Yes, I'm going to carry my cross. We focus on the expectation of the suffering or the sacrifice that we will say I'm going to make a commitment to. But do we look at the importance that we have to guard our heart in order to be willing to carry the cross? We have to be willing to guard our heart. So we're going to look at a few examples of this in Proverbs, and then one other in John, I believe it is. So in Proverbs 4:20 through 27, it says, "My son, give attention to my words." That means pay attention to God's word. "Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." This father is talking to his son, okay, and is saying to them, Solomon, saying to his son, look, I want you to understand that you are to pay attention to what I'm saying. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You know, I look back as a father, and I wish I would have sat down more frequently with Gregory and said, listen to these words of wisdom, okay? Or emphasize being that much more in God's word. It's not that I didn't emphasize or didn't talk to them, but I wish I would have been more intentionally in talking to my kids about these things, investing these truths in their heart. Verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you." I want to stop there for just a moment, because put away from you a deceitful mouth, a lying mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. How perverse is our common language in our culture today? For the Christian, it's not, we're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to allow ourselves to adopt the vocabulary, and we shouldn't be, this is my own little beef, I think we're more intelligent and can use better vocabulary than what the world around us wants to. And the other thing is let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Satan will tempt us to look at things that we should not look at. And what we need to do is say, okay, keep your eyes straight, keep the right focus, don't be distracted by things you shouldn't look at. And so that's all around us all the time. But we make the intentional effort to do what's right. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So we are to be intentional. We are to be thinking about how we're walking, how we're directing our lives, what we're holding on to, keeping our eyes straight, focusing on the right things, holding the Word of God in our heart. Those things will help us to embrace the life that God wants us to have. But it's a choice and it's intentional. So wise King Solomon identified four principles of guarding the heart. Okay? So actually we're looking at Proverbs 3. There's three principles out of Proverbs and one more. So I want to look at these four principles though. One, recognize the treasure. What is the treasure in our heart? What did I say with the kids? That their heart with the lit candle represents what? Christ who lives in our heart. Because we've asked Christ to forgive us of our sin and come live in our lives. And so he lives in our lives and he'll never leave us or forsake us. That's the truth. But we're to recognize, honor, consider, hold on to, don't forget that there is a great treasure in our heart and his name is Jesus. So in order to experience the fullness of faith, we have to partake in the blessings that God has for us and recognize the treasure of the heart. In verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. Be intentional, right? Communicates priority and spring the issues of life communicates a glorious promise. Let me read it again. Keep your heart with all diligence, communicates priority, and spring the issues of life communicates a glorious promise. You can look at that another way. Knowledge of God's word is good, but wisdom of God's word is applying what it says. You've heard me say that many times. We want to be wise. Wise doesn't mean how much we know. Wise means how much we apply of that which is good in God's word. The text identifies guarding our heart as more important than anything. We have to realize that our heart is a very vulnerable place. Our heart is a place that the enemy works hard on, and we need to guard it against anything that God's not pleased with. And so guard our heart. As a Christian community, we almost cherish the doctrine of suffering. Self-denial. This is what the Christian life is, a primary thing, is that we die to ourselves and we live for Christ, that we're willing to pick up our cross and follow him, that we're willing not to seek ourselves but to seek God first. We're willing to put others first rather than ourselves. All these things are self-denial. So that's a doctrine, a principle amongst the Christian faith that is very much acknowledged and recognized, but how we apply it is determined by how intentional we are in living out that truth in our lives. In Proverbs 4:23 and 27, it contains the paradox of kingdom living. And I want to ask you a question: Could it be that we can only die to self when we guard our heart? Now, don't lose me on this, okay? I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is able to work through the ineffectiveness of the communicator, right? The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. But if we say that, okay, I'm willing to die to myself to live for God, it requires that we guard our heart. If we're not guarding our heart and making sure our heart is right with God, we're not going to be willing to die to ourselves. We might become religious. We might become, this is how it looks to be a Christian. But we know that that's not what it means to live a good Christian life. Jesus revealed the things that come out of our heart defile a man. You're around someone long enough, you're going to hear what's in the heart. And we need to be careful about that. In Matthew 15, 17 through 20, it says, "Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated?" That's a pretty graphic picture. Whatever goes in is eliminated. Reminds me of a Christian woman I know, new, wonderful Christian lady, elderly. She used to have her eliminating water every night before she went to bed. So what goes in comes out. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. You know, in our own human nature, our hearts are ugly. That's just a reality. I mean, there are times when God just, you know, lets me see who I am as much as possible in his presence. Or the enemy rubs in my face who I am as an opposition to who God wants me to be. And so we know that our heart, in our own sinful nature, as that snake rears up his head, we know that our own nature left to itself is evil and dark. And that's what's being referred to here. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thieves, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. That doesn't mean much to you and I, but the argument was all the religious efforts of the Jews. You got to wash your hands. You got to wash them, do your forearms, let the water drip off your elbows, and do all this ritualistic garbage. But we can't apply that to the modern day Christian life, that living religiously is not living necessarily a Christian life. Religion, of course, is an outward appearance, but living the life for Christ is where the genuineness comes. Jesus also taught that we are that where our focus is, our treasure is, there our heart is also. In Luke 12:34, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What is your treasure in life? Is it your kids? Is it your status, your money? What is the most important thing to you? I've asked that question before in our church. I've asked myself that question. What is the most important thing to you? You might say, who is the most important person to you? And the answer to both of those should be God. Knowing him, loving him, being loved by him, walking with him, discovering him and his plans and purposes for our lives, that God should be the number one priority in our lives. We know that intellectually, but we have to be willing to apply it intentionally to be wise believers in Christ. That's what God calls us to do. As Christians, we have Christ in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 4:6-7, it says, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I don't want to gloss over that too quickly. I want you and I to understand the magnificence of what's being said and the reality of it. God himself lives inside of us. Well, duh, we know that. We have this screensaver thing on our TV, and it shows different parts around the world. One is in, I don't know, San Lucas, whatever, in Mexico. And there's a high aerial view of people at the beach and people in the water and people on the sand. And I told Kathy this morning when we were sitting in the living room, I saw that, and I saw all the people in this blue-green water and then on the beach, but all the ones on the blue-green water seemed to be, I said, they look like tadpoles. And I said, think about that, that those tadpole-looking things are people that were created in God's image, and that God knows the depths and core of each of those hearts, and that God loves us so much that he died for us and gave his life for us, took the penalty for our sins on the cross and was buried and rose from the grave because of his great love for us. And I'm thinking, this is little tiny earth with little tiny microscopic ants called people on it who have tiny, tiny little hearts, and God says, I love your heart. In fact, you and I as believers in Christ are Christ's inheritance. I'm not saying that God gets a handful of tadpoles for his inheritance. But the joy, the stones, the gems in his crown, his inheritance, is you and I. We don't see ourselves that way. And the point is that God himself, obviously we know, lives inside of us, but it's the light of God, the truth of God, the character of God, and in reality, the very person of God, his spirit. I can't give Derek my spirit, buddy, you don't want it. Because you're going to see the real person of who I am inside. And so we don't want to share our spirit with each other because that's going to unravel everything. Right? But God said, I'm holy and I'm God, and I give you my spirit that I might live in you, that you might delve into me and unravel me as much as you want to know me. Because the more you know me, the more you're going to realize I love you and how much it is that I love you. And so praise God for that. And the clay vessels, of course, are our bodies. Our bodies are like clay. You know, Adam was formed out of the clay of the earth, and we turn back into dust. Our bodies do. But what lives in us is God. I think God gave us a picture of that with the Dead Sea Scrolls. 1947, 48, in the Qumran caves, found these old clay pots with old scriptures that were rolled up and kept and preserved in them. Kind of a picture of the word of God, which became flesh, which we saw and we beheld, as the disciples said, in those clay pots. The reality is that the very person of Jesus lives in us as we are believers in Christ. And we are to cling to him. He is to be that treasure in our hearts. He is to be that priority in our lives. And we need to ask ourselves, in all honesty, is God our priority? Is he what I think about and focus on the most in my life? And if not, then we need to say, God, will you make me that type of person? Help me to know you and your love for me more than what I know now, so that it'll spark that flame in my heart even more for you. Jesus, the word of life, is what we should be treasuring and guarding in our hearts. That's what we should be guarding. The question is, how many believers are guarding their heart? So many Christians are like, I'm so glad that I know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die because I prayed and asked Jesus in my heart. Well, that might be a genuinely true reality in your life. But we shouldn't be dissatisfied with that. We should be pursuing the new life God has for us by guarding our heart to make sure it's right with God. Dr. Charles Caldwell Ryrie, an American Bible scholar and Christian theologian, said this: the heart is the very core of life. Our heart is the truest expression of who we really are. Sometimes in prayer, God will let us see our heart for who we truly are. And sometimes you want to gloss over it quickly because we don't want to acknowledge it. God already knows it. He wants us to be reminded of it so we can rely on him to deal with it, so we can be the people he wants us to be. The next principle in this passage in Proverbs 4 is prioritize the task. Guard your heart from sin. One of the factors that's prevented many believers in Christ from making the matters of the heart a priority is the limitation of guarding your heart. We've established that. I want you to walk away today saying, how much do I guard my heart for Jesus? How much of a priority is that for me in my life? And how much am I being robbed if I'm not guarding my heart? Because living for Christ, following him, and giving ourselves to him, and loving him more than anything really gives us the abundant life God intends for us to have. When we limit God that way and we don't guard our heart, we're not guarding our heart from the impurities of life. Moral purity is an admirable and necessary part of following Christ. Having a clear conscience before God, being right with God. We all deal with moral challenges. We all deal with our sinful nature, whether it's happened physically or whether mentally. Jesus said if you can commit adultery in your heart, right? By how we think. It's all a product of our heart. We're all in the same boat, but we all have to make a decision as to whether we're going to guard our heart from those types of ways of thinking so that we can have a closer relationship with God. Guarding your heart is more than protecting it. Guarding your heart includes pursuing and providing what is good for it. Guarding your heart is more about feeding your soul than avoiding sin. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? We can feed our soul. What's our soul? Our mind, our will, our emotions. Feed it with the good things of God's word, God's principles, and most of all, our relationship with Jesus. I think it was Dr. Jeremiah, I don't know, but somebody had said this, and I thought it was a good way to help us guide our hearts or guard our hearts. Before we're tempted to do something that we're in question of whether we should do it or not, is to ask ourselves this question. If I do this, will it hurt my soul? If I think that thought, will it hurt my soul? If I take that action, will it hurt my soul? If I yield to this or that, will it hurt my soul? We don't want to hurt our soul. We don't want to live with the things that might bring that guilt or shame or even restriction in our life that keeps us from being Christians that live in the fullness of God in our life. There's no greater life than a life that's lived for Christ and in Christ and through him and actually knowing him. Not just knowing he lives in our heart, but knowing him as we walk with him and talk to him every day. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. That means be intentional. Keep, protect, guard your heart with all intention or diligence. When our heart is strong, then we're able at that point to be, when our heart is strong, we're the most capable to protect and guard our heart, right? When our heart is strong, we're the most capable to resist temptations. When our heart is strong, we're that much more capable to keep from stumbling. So the next principle in Proverbs 4 is put out the trash. Put out the trash. Proverbs 4:24 and 20 through 26, it says, put out from you a deceitful mouth, that's a lying mouth, and put perverse lips far from you, cussing, inappropriate conversation, things like that. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So some trash is easy to identify in our lives. Some trash is obvious in our lives. And we can see it, but what we do with it is an intentional choice. And God wants us to make the intentional choice to do what he wants us to do, that we can know him better and live for him and be that light and that person that God wants us to be. But there's other trash that's hard to discern. What are the motives of the trash in our heart? Well, I didn't really catch that about me before. Some trash in our life is not that noticeable. It takes discernment to be able to remove it. A lack of faith, an unwillingness to forgive, materialism, pride, a false belief system, can stop the flow of the wellsprings of life. That's what God wants us to enjoy, the wellspring of life in Him. Who doesn't want to have, you understand wellspring? You know, Rainbow Springs, Florida. Just saw it on TV the other day. It's where my dad and my stepmother lived. And we swam at the springs right there. And it's just this freshwater spring coming up out of the earth and making a rainbow river. And it was continuous. Charles Stanley years ago said, we're not to look at God as a reservoir like a bowl. We're to look at God as a source, like a channel that never ends. And we need to remember that source of life is there, that we might know the fullness of life that God intends for us to have. He wants us to have that focus that says, look, when I see trash, obvious or not obvious, but when God makes it aware to me, give me grace to deal with it as God would have me to. We all have that. I mean, if I was exposed to you who I am, you would probably kill me and bury me. I mean, that's how I view it, because I know my sinful nature. God knows my sinful nature. God knows your sinful nature, but God loves us and doesn't reject us. He wants us to have a relationship that's deep and right with Him. So don't walk with a lack of faith. Don't be unwilling to forgive. Don't be materialistic. Don't seek your own pride, seeking yourself. Don't believe in false systems. I saw someone on the Olympics with a Japanese culture thing. It was called forest bathing. Now, we're not talking about some little skinny dipping area in the forest in Japan. That was the first thought that went through my mind. But no, it was saying, put your hand on the tree and feel the energy of the tree just refreshing you. Stay there for a while. Can you feel that? Push the negative out. Bring the positive in. Push the old back. Embrace the new. Baloney. Hold on to the truth of God's word. Apply it to your heart. Live and walk with Jesus. That'll refresh your soul. And that will be everlasting. That'll be that confidence in that relationship with Jesus. Put out the trash. Whether big or small, it's still trash. We all have trash. Not a happy thought, but a reality that God knows and we know, and it's up to us what we do with it. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Let me break that down real fast. If anyone cleanses himself, I'm not talking about out with the bad. I'm talking about God, I hear you. God, I know. We acknowledge, we confess, we repent. We seek God's wisdom and understanding on how to deal with things that we wrestle with, those types of things. And then if we do that and we're walking with God and we're making sure that we're not clouding our testimony because of sin that we're not dealing with in our life, then we will receive honor from God. We will be sanctified. You know what sanctified means? It doesn't mean holier than thou. All of us are sinners saved by grace. Sanctified means being set apart for God's purpose. I want to be in God's purpose. He created me for Him. He will honor us. He will sanctify us. He'll make us useful for His work. That's not a belaboring thought. That's not something we should be weighted down with. Oh, great, more work. No, when we're in God's will, doing God's will, there's a joy in being in God's will. And we are prepared by His hands for every good work. Putting out the trash makes us ready for God and His work. In other words, guarding our heart, keeping our heart and thoughts right with God, knowing who we are in our sinful nature and our own struggles, and dealing with it accordingly as God would lead us to, will enable us to be ready for God's work and being involved in what God would have you to do, walking with Him, being that vessel of light, and God's unique way He will use you. You and I are, none of us are exactly alike. We're like, no. I started to say we're like snowflakes. That terminology doesn't work today. But if you look at this, the technicality of snowflakes, each one is different, right? And unique. And as you and I are different and unique, and as God created us, He's created us specifically with purposes that relate to us specifically. If that's not too redundant, right? One more final point in Proverbs 4, verses 20 and 21. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Is God's word important to you? Make it a priority, but it has to be intentional. And 4, how to guard our heart and energize your heart with truth. Be careful to pay close attention to God's word. Don't let it skim over your head. Know that God's word is truth, that you can rely on it. It doesn't change. Remember what Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And the word became flesh, and we beheld him. We saw him. That's Jesus. This is some of the heart of Jesus revealed to us. The principles, what he has for us to learn from his word. I'm going to read that again real quickly, and we're coming to a close here. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. A disciple is not just a follower, but a learner. Learning about Jesus never ends. Learning about your relationship with him can only grow deeper if we intentionally pursue that relationship. And you shall know the truth. How many people in our world can say they know the truth? Those that believe in the truth, right? And the truth shall what? Make you free. I love that. Freedom from the guilt, freedom from shame, freedom from restriction, freedom from being confined to all the standards that are placed on you, and to discover the fullness that God has intended for your life, abundant life. We need the truth. We need words of wisdom to guard our hearts. Words of wisdom set our hearts free from sin and energize us. Hey, I know God's word. I can stand solid on it. I know that I can go back to God's word and it'll energize me. You know what an example of that is, real quickly? It's, we're facing temptation, and the scripture comes to our mind, and we all face temptation. We all sin, right? So we're looking at this, but God's word says this. Now at that point, we are either coming to a decision to accept God's word, or we already know and have accepted that it's true, that we can take it and say, this thought is here, but God says this. And you pull out that scripture and you just quote it in your head or verbally. And you use it to defend against that which is false so that you can stand on what's true. Too many believers treat knowing Jesus as a simple fact in their lives. You understand what I'm saying? Too many people are just content, well, I know Jesus is in my life. That's all that matters. Instead of a transforming truth. You see the robbery that happens? People that say, oh, I got Jesus in my heart, I'm content with that. But they're not living out the life that God has for them, that life that they experience the hand of God transforming them into the person he's called them to be. We're never to treat scripture as a collection of facts. Oh, I know a lot of facts. Well, big deal. If you don't apply them, it don't matter. That's why we have a lot of hypocrites. That's why the world sees a lot of Christians as hypocritical. They can spout it off. They can say what they want. They can declare their knowledge of self-righteousness. And if you're not living it, you're shaming it. And that's true for all of us. Never treat the scripture as a collection of facts. Pay attention and listen closely, because God's word is alive. God's word will transform your heart, how you think, how you prioritize, how you live, everything. And the realization of the transforming power of God in our life is great. So let the wisdom of God guard your heart and transform you. That's the exciting part of living for Jesus, that he transforms us right in our midst. And we can go, wow, I know who I was and I know who I am now. And God did that. Praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for each one here. Father, this message, Father, in reality, it's a convicting message, but it's a message that challenges us to really evaluate if you're the priority of our life. But it also challenges us to not run away from the things that we see in our own sinful nature, but to acknowledge those things before you and allow you to work in our lives to transform us from that type of character that we have. To remold our hearts, to be hearts that are on fire for you. Hearts that realize your love for us and your marvelous work in our lives that causes us to just want to draw closer and closer to you. I praise you, Father, for that. But it takes honesty. It takes acknowledgement. It takes intentional action to live a life that enables you to freely work in our life and make us and transform us into what you want us to be. Help us to be that kind of people. And thank you for loving us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.